Today, we're talking about crucial topics for young people with our guest, Brittany Colson. As a licensed associate counselor focused on trauma and director of content at TrueFace, Brittany brings a unique perspective on identity, purpose, and well-being. Next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacey and Phil Thompson.
Welcome to another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson. Steve Lacey is not a part of things today. He just got back from his vacation somewhere in Texas by the beach in there. I guess Texas does have beaches, right? So he went with his four children. They've been going to this place since 2002, and he's got four kids. Now they're all grown up, and strangely enough, they've multiplied. And so now there's like 20-some people when you count everybody from his family that goes to this thing once a year, and they have a great time, and it's organized chaos from my understanding. Not something I want to be a part of, but I'm happy for him. So he'll be back with us probably next week. Before we get into our webinar, or actually our podcast today, we have a great guest who I'm just excited to talk about and talk to and ask questions. Before we get into this, let me remind you, we have a webinar coming up as we do every month. And so that's going to be June 24th. So if you happen to catch this webinar before June 24th, I'd encourage you to check it out. And even if you miss it, you can always still sign up and see the recorded copy of it, as well as the other webinars we've done. This webinar coming up is called From Chaos to Clarity, Failure Proof Your Stream. And as some of you may know, we are StreamingChurch.tv. That's our main product here with our company. We do lots of things besides the Church Solutions Podcast. So we're going to talk about streaming video, and we're going to really talk about how summer is the ideal time to prep your church's tech, get ready for the busy season that will be coming up before you know it. And so we're going to talk about how you can simplify your streaming setup for smooth, stress-free services, and also kind of be on the lookout how you can maybe wipe out some tech glitches that may disrupt your worship service and your streaming. And you'll have a chance to, we'll talk about how you can evaluate your stream's quality and keep your views and viewers engaged, and also really organize your equipment so that your team can fix some potential problems or something that comes up fast. Nothing worse. I did this for years as a church online host. There's nothing worse than when something goes wrong and you're like panicking, trying to figure out, well, what do we do next? You know, so we're going to talk about that with this webinar. You can sign up at webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And as I said, it's June 24th. It's 12 Eastern time, and it's free. It's about 30 minutes long. There'll be live Q&A that you can ask Michael Gray and Steve Lacey and myself. We're going to be hosting it, so we hope you'll be a part of it. And again, if you can't, sign up anyhow, because you'll get the recorded copy. And you can also go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv not only to sign up, but you can scroll down the page and click on a link to see our past webinars. We're all about equipping churches. We do streaming video. We do some other things, but we really want to help your church with resources to become better at what you do and help you as you go on in your mission. All right. So today's episode is number 478. And today's guest is both a licensed associate counselor specializing in trauma and the director of content at TrueFace. And you might be asking, what is TrueFace? We'll get into that in a moment. She brings a very unique perspective that bridges mental health and faith. Her path from international conversation science, that's another question I have. What is conversation science? We'll ask about that. But she brings a very unique history and experience of counseling young people. And that's really what we want to talk about today is young adults. It's a very important topic for people involved in ministry today. But she's got some great insights to help in those areas that maybe go beyond the typical self-help approaches. So without further ado, let's please welcome Brittany Colson to the Church Solutions Podcast. Brittany, how are you today?
Doing great. Thanks so much for having me on, Phil.
Well, it's great to have you here. I really am excited to talk a little bit about what you do and also about youth and young people. And before we start here, you're in our neck of the woods, so to speak. You're up in the Phoenix, Arizona area. Mm-hmm. We're in Tucson, and we both share triple digit temperatures.
Yes, we're into that season now for sure.
I think we were 109 yesterday, and you were like 112,
yep,
something like that.
112. Yeah. It's pool season for now, until the pools get too warm in about a month and a half, and then it will just be inside season.
Yeah. All right. Well, we don't have a pool anymore where I live, but I can go over to my friend's place and jump in. All right. So let's talk a little bit about a couple things. And as I said earlier, I think it's just so important. We've done a lot of podcasts over the years, and I don't think we've ever really talked about youth or young people in ministry. We talk about a lot of tech things as well as ministry-oriented things. But first of all, what is conversation science? What is that?
Yeah, so this is actually a common switch that happens. It's actually conservation science. It's not conversation, it's conservation science. So
I got a typo here.
I guess.
Is that what it is? All right, sorry about that. All right, well, tell us what that is.
Yeah, so that's just the technical study of how to preserve the natural world. You can focus on a lot of different biomes, whether that's terrestrial or marine or freshwater, whatever it is. But it's scientists that are focused on preserving the natural world. So that was my original career, was in conservation science. Yeah.
Okay.
So I worked as a zookeeper initially, doing education, but also hands-on work with especially cheetahs and tigers, and then later with elephants and some Mongolian horses and Malayan tapirs. And then went and got my master's in conservation science over in England. And worked doing some research and some impact studies and things like that.
Globally. Wow. You definitely have that. That's pretty wild. What's even wilder here is with this typo, I actually asked ChatGPT, what is conversation science? It talked about a whole different thing about
it. Would make about, more you know, sense, having... right? Like conversation science to what I'm doing now actually seems like it would bridge the gap a little better than.
Yeah.
Animals. Yeah.
Exactly. And I thought, oh, okay. Well, I can see now why, you know, it's like, okay, scratch that from the list.
Nope.
All right. Well, another one.
More
of Phil
of a
Thompson's,
left turn.
Yeah, exactly. More of a left turn. Yeah, sure. No pun intended. So, so you're with TrueFace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was another thing. It was interesting when what is TrueFace?
So we are a nonprofit ministry. We were started actually here in the Valley in Phoenix 30 years ago. Now 5 or 6 years ago, we moved to Georgia as we went through kind of founder transition, new CEO. We moved our headquarters to Georgia. But we are focused on helping people go deeper in their relationships with God and other people. I don't know if anyone else has experienced this growing up in faith communities, but sometimes it's hard for us to go deep and be really authentic with each other and even with God. It's kind of hard sometimes to be really honest with the Lord and know how to be vulnerable with each other and have high trust communities. Unfortunately, a lot of times in our religious communities, we can have more masks that we wear or trying to seem like we have it together, even if life is falling apart. And so our ministry really exists to help equip people to go deeper and be more authentic in their relationships, both kind of horizontally with each other and then with them in the Lord. So
okay.
That is our
mission. Okay, great. So from your career that you were educated in to going into counseling, I mean, how did that happen? What your transition and why did it happen?
I'm sure I could tell some kind of like more cleaned up story, but especially if there are any youth listening, I think it's more fun to hear the real stuff. So I had worked in conservation. I then started working for TrueFace as kind of an interim thing. Because all of my experience in conservation was out in the field. Everything was living in Africa or doing field work in different parts of the UK or whatever it was. And so wanting to get some experience in an office, I started at TrueFace. So TrueFace had changed my life in college because of their resources. It had completely flipped my relationship with the Lord in the sweetest way. And so I started working with them and then continued working with them when we went through that founder transition 6 years ago, the decision was, do you either move to Georgia and stay on the team, or do you stay in Arizona, but you'll be done in 6 months? And I didn't think that Georgia was really for me. And it was time anyway for me to go back and get my PhD. That had been kind of the plan of, now I need to go back and get my PhD in conservation. And as I thought about that, and I got about 3 months of like really sweet reflection of what's my next move? I'm leaving this ministry. What am I going to do next? And really spent some time with mentors, with peers that knew me well, lots of time in prayer, asking, what do I really love? What am I really good at? What do I always make time for? What drains me? What do I hate doing? Made all of these crazy lists that I still have. And it started to really become clear to me how much I loved one-on-one time with individuals. Like I've mentored girls for over a decade, and I would always make time for that. And I started realizing that I could actually get paid for that. And as a side note, a lot of professions have been studied: doctors, lawyers, first responders. No one's really studied the mental health of conservationists. And so that's also been a passion of mine, of bringing mental health help to conservationists and helping to even do some research and be part of a few grant teams and things like that to look into them. So in that 3 month period, I was like, oh my gosh, I think I'm not supposed to go back to get my PhD in conservation, even though that's what I'd said I would do. That's what people expected. That was the plan. Again, if anyone is listening in their 20s, I was 29 at this time. I decided to make a right turn towards getting my master's in counseling and really putting my education into that. And that was absolutely the right move. I loved it. I still love it. And then bonus points, after that 3 months and I had made this decision, I had great clarity of, what do I want to spend the next 40 years doing? And I want to spend it one-on-one with people working through stuff. After that 3 months, our new CEO decided that actually I could stay on if I worked virtually. And so I ended up staying on at TrueFace. I've been there 10 years now. And so I work part-time, 20 hours a week as a licensed therapist at a private practice, and then 20 hours a week with TrueFace. So definitely not the straight path of a career. But it's been really fun.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Well, that's good though. I mean, that's great. And I like the fact that you were maybe a little bit older, so to speak, mm-hmm. when you decided to make that change.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people, when they get to their late 20s, there's all this stuff put on them about what they should be doing and, mm-hmm. you know, the career they should have. And you just kind of threw that out now. The window.
Yeah.
You can't change, but you threw that out the window and said, yeah, I'm going to change. Mm-hmm. I'm going to change.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's yeah. good. All right. So let's get into a little bit of the counseling aspect of things. I never worked with youth. So I was involved in ministry since I was 18.
You were
a youth. And then I was a youth, but I don't know why. I think I had older parents and an older brother. And so I don't know. I just never was drawn to work with youth. And I always had pastors try to get me to, oh, you could be our youth pastor, blah, blah, blah. And even when I was in my 40s, they wanted me to be youth pastor. So I don't know. Maybe it was the hair. I don't know. But I just never could relate. Well, I don't know if I want to say relate. I just never had a desire to work with youth. But I know that there is a real struggle sometimes with leaders connecting with youth today. Mm-hmm. And so tell me, I mean, have you seen that disconnect, and why is that happening, and what's the answer to it?
I agree with you. I think that has been a problem always, where it can be difficult for older people to connect with younger people, to put themselves in their shoes, to remember what it was like. I think that's not a new problem. That's always been something we struggle with. I think with this new generation, there are some really cool things about them that then can sometimes be difficult. So, for example, like Gen Z and Gen Alpha really value authenticity. They really value not being manipulative. And so, especially like I was mentioning, a lot of us that grew up in the church can struggle sometimes with wearing some masks or needing to have the right answer, needing to maybe tell a story in a like more put a bow on it way. Let me do a spiritual lesson by telling you about this thing. The younger generations do not respond well to that. They are hungry for mentorship. They are hungry for guidance, but they want it authentic. They want to feel like you're not trying to pull one over on me. You're telling me how it really has been for you. And so I think that can sometimes be a disconnect where if older people haven't really done much work to figure out how do I be more vulnerable, then it's really hard for them, obviously, to be vulnerable and authentic with a 22-year-old who doesn't want a cleaned up advice. They want you to be in their struggle with them, to be honest, to tell stories of your own mess ups and failures and fears. And so I think that's one place that we can miss each other. And again, I think that's such a cool thing about the next generation. They can smell a manipulation, but also they can smell just like inauthenticity so quickly, which is amazing. But then sometimes it's hard for older people to know what to do with that, I think.
Yeah, I think that's true. And let's kind of, since you work with young people, what are some of the challenges they're facing today? Because, okay, like I'm 67 years old, okay? And I don't know how old you are. You said you were 29 when you made the change. So you're a little bit older than a teenager. You're 35 now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't want to ask you that, but thanks for volunteering that information. So it is different in some ways, the challenges they're facing today. I mean, my son is 20, he's going to be 27. And he has told me multiple times over the last several years, he goes, I never realized being a grown-up was going to be so hard. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was his age, I don't remember thinking that way. I don't remember mm-hmm. feeling, oh, this is so hard being a grown-up. I don't remember that, but I've heard other kids say the same thing, that it's mm-hmm. just hard being a grown-up when they get in their 20s. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that? And is that just their perception, or is it really harder, in your opinion, being a grown-up now than it was back years ago?
I think a lot of this is my own opinion, obviously. Yes, I definitely hear that. I hear that from people in my office. I also hear that from younger women at my church, just like people that I know personally or have friendship with. I do hear that. And I think that there's a mix. I think in some ways it is more difficult. There's more to navigate than there used to be. There's so many benefits to the advent of technology and of the internet. And of being able to be connected through social media and things like that. But there's a lot more to navigate, even if you think about just the circles in which we move. It's no longer your three close friends that you stay up with, but there's so many more people that you could stay connected with, check in with, go to visit, things like that. And I think that that can put a lot of pressure on young people to kind of keep up some of those things, but also, I mean, we can look at like cost of living to income. You can look at all the numbers on that. Like our incomes haven't risen according to the cost of living. And so things like affording healthcare, a lot of employers don't offer benefits right. like that, that used to just be standard. Like, of course, you have a full-time job. Of course, you also have these benefits and these kind of safety pieces that go with commitment to a company. But that's not necessarily the case anymore. So they're having to make more decisions and navigate more things. So I think that's true. I also think because I see a difference in different families and different youths, there are some families that really set their kids up for success by making them do things that are hard, by making them call to try to figure out car insurance. And maybe I'll go with you and I'll help you talk it through, but you're going to make the phone call. You're going to make the decision, pushing them with support to figure these things out earlier. I think that there is a real sweet desire to protect our kids and protect them from hardship. But then it means that it's when they're about 24 that they start really getting hit in the face with life. Because right. we've just wanted to take care of it. I'll step in. I'll do this for you. Again, out of that, like it's out of a great motivation, but I think then it's like later and later that kids are getting hit with these adult things. And then they're like, oh my gosh, I'm 26 and I'm freaking out and I don't know what to do when my car is making a weird sound. I feel like I should know what to do. So then it gets into this shame cycle. And so I think all of those together, I think that it is harder to be an adult than it was before. And I think a lot of kids are less prepared to be an adult just because of what their parents wanted to save them from.
Yeah. My heart just goes out to my son, you know, just because of the struggles I see. And I think he has, well, I won't get into it, but he had dyslexia, really bad dyslexia growing up. So it was really hard for him to read, you know. Yeah. And let me just get to that next question. So are you seeing, when you're dealing with younger people, are you seeing, I don't use the word special needs, maybe that's the word to use, but are you seeing more, let me just use it, are you seeing more special needs pop up? And I'm not just talking about autism, but I'm talking about other things like dyslexia or trauma situations. Mm-hmm. Do you see a lot of that in your counseling with young people?
I do. Yeah, I see a lot of that. I mean, I'm a trauma specialist, and so I work with a lot of trauma. I think that there's also a combination of, there's more awareness. So there's more naming of what I'm going through. I mean, a lot of people in the 50s had crazy anxiety, but they didn't have a name for it. So it was just right. Like, oh, whatever, I have hysteria or some other diagnosis. And so more people are aware of what anxiety means, what depression means, what trauma can mean. Although there definitely is some overuse of the word trauma and just not fully understanding what that word means. But I think that it's the combination of more awareness. And so people are coming into my office saying, I'm really struggling with anxiety, rather than like, I don't know, I just feel off. They have more language around it. And then two, again, back to technology and social media, we know so much of what is happening in the world all the time. We know what's happening everywhere and the worst things that are happening everywhere, including majority things that we can't do anything about. And so that really rises levels of anxiety. And then after anxiety, then there's some depression and some hopelessness, because I'm seeing tragedies happen. I'm seeing violence happening. And I can't do anything about it. And it can really overwhelm. Like, we're taking in so much more information than we can actually act on, versus finding out something's happening in my local community and I can take this stuff and I can do this thing to actually step in. Instead, we're just inundated with so much information. And then same, that's kind of like the world side. And then the same with even comparisons. I always say, you know, if you remember middle school and finding out you didn't get invited to a sleepover, it's awful. It's a terrible feeling of rejection. But now imagine that you get Snapchats from the girls at the sleepover. Imagine that you have all your friends' locations so you can see where they're at. You can see they're all together and that you're the only one that's not invited. Imagine that you have to see the Instagram post or the TikTok post about how fun the sleepover was in your face. That is so much worse than the next week at school, someone says something and you're like, oh, did something happen and I wasn't invited? It's just so much more rejection in your face and comparison in your face all the time. And that is really severely impacting kids' mental health for sure.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I can just imagine. All right. So we have pastors and spiritual leaders and people in the church listening or watching this podcast. So as a leader, how can I begin to address some of these things that you just mentioned? How can I help make this bridge so that there's not this disconnect between the youth or the younger people, even the younger adults in my church? As a spiritual leader, as a pastor, what are a couple things I could do?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is difficult. And so you kind of need an army for it, because it's get in their lives, get in these kids' lives, not a program, although those can be helpful, not a study that can be helpful, but go live some life with them, get coffee with them, invite them to come to your family's house for dinner, ask them questions about how they're doing and what they're noticing, get to know who they really are because a lot of times that is the biggest safety net that we can have. That's more than half the magic of therapy, is that someone is deeply sitting with you, paying attention, being present with you in the struggle. And so you can offer that with absolutely no, you don't need to be a therapist, you don't need to be a counselor, just be there, be present, be in. And then try to share what you can. Obviously, I think I have such a heart for pastors because they're trying to hold so much. The pastor can't meet with everyone. They can't be vulnerable with everyone. They have to be discerning in how they walk through that. And that's just, it's a really hard job. And so think through, what can I be vulnerable about? Can I talk about, like, oh yeah, when I was 24, I was, you know, working this crazy dead end job and it was terrible and I had no idea what to do with my life. And here are some things that kind of helped me. Like, share those kinds of things with young adults so that they can see they're not the only ones going through this. I was just sitting with a girl I'm mentoring. She's engaged. They're having some fights and just sharing real normal stuff that happens in my marriage was, she said, so encouraging to her that, like, oh, okay, it's okay that we have places we're struggling or that we're wrestling or that I don't know what I'm doing with my career or whatever it is. So sharing those kinds of true stories, not with a nice little bow on it of like, and then I prayed and everything was fine. Sometimes that happens. How amazing when that happens. But a lot of times it's more of a wrestle than that. And so the ways that you're able to get in their lives, share real stuff with them. And I think of, again, like pastors, that's really difficult. And so identifying who in our church can be investing in them that way. Or can I have the youth over once a month to have a backyard grill and just talk with them, be with them? But so many people live behind screens and that's the majority of their interaction, that the more that we can be hands-on, face-to-face, talking in the same space can actually create a lot of magic. And so just be assured, if you're wanting to help the youth, you don't have to have all the answers. It's better if you don't, actually. Just be there. Be with them. Mm. And be yourself.
Yeah, that's so true. And as a pastor, I mean, I have a kind of a diverse background. I was raised in Christian communities, so I understand some of that. And I think you're absolutely right on. But there's part of me, too, as a teacher, go, I want to teach how you can overcome this. But that's mm-hmm. not really the answer in most cases. It's mm-hmm. it's really just opening your life up and sharing relationship with these younger people.
Yeah. And there are, I mean, there's good. Great resources that you can use, too. I mean, there's, the anxiety answer. I'm forgetting the name right now. Anxiety solution. There's a sweet book that was written that looks at the ways that Jesus interacts with people and the ways that the majority of them were actually coming to him with anxiety of some form. There's The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. It's a great resource. We wrote a book called The Path that's specifically written for Gen Z to invite them into the path of Jesus and to start some of these conversations around identity, around shame, around friendship and community, around destiny and purpose. And we created a small group study that goes with that. So you could use something like that. There's lots of ways to teach and provide information, but teaching without relationship really falls on deaf ears. So we can't, people can only love us to the level that we trust them. So if I don't trust you, you can't love me, no matter how much love you have for me. So developing relationship sure. with kids and then offering information or doing a study or things like that can be a lot more powerful.
But yeah, that can come later. Yeah. All right. Well, look, we're running out of time here. So Brittany, how can people get a hold of you? How can people learn more about True Face?
Well, True Face, super easy. It's just TRUEFACE.org. It's our website. You can reach out to us there. We're on social media. On Instagram, we're True Face Life. On Facebook, we're True Face Community. You can email me at brittany@trueface.org. It's just brittany@trueface.org. Those are probably the easiest ways. Okay. And that's it for True Face stuff. I just as the caveat, I can only see individuals for therapy that are in Arizona. That's just how licensure works. And so if you want to reach out to me about therapy, you can email that too. But I'll send you over to a different portal for that kind of conversation.
Yeah, that sounds good. This is good. Yeah. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to talk about conversation science, but conservation science was pretty interesting. So
I bet there is a conversation science, and I bet it's fascinating.
According to ChatGPT, there is. I don't know. If not, I'm going to start it. That's what I'll do next in
my
life.
You have the first master's in conversation science.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. Well, this has been fun. It's very insightful. I just think it's so important. I just think, you know, there's stats out there about young people not being involved in the church today like they used to be, although I have seen some other stats saying that there's maybe an indication that they're coming back to the church. But regardless, I mean, young adults, it's so important to be able to connect with them as leaders. And I think what you've said here has been great. And we didn't really get to much of the questions. Maybe we'll have you on again sometime if you're willing.
Yeah.
We can cover a little more territory. So we sure appreciate it. So again, Brittany Colson with TrueFace. And you got the information there that she gave. If you missed any of that, you don't want to back up the tape, you can always reach out to us at streamingchurch.tv. That's who we are, one of our companies. And again, we want to help churches, not just with tech, but with anything we can do to help them with additional resources to fulfill their purpose and their mission. So that's why we do what we do. And that's part of what the Church Solutions Podcast is. All right, Brittany, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, Phil. It's always fun to chat about this stuff.
Yeah, it is good. All right. All right. Well, we'll talk again soon, I trust. And folks, thank you for spending some time with us today on the Church Solutions Podcast. For Steve Lacey, who's not here, but we'll be back next time, I'm Phil Thompson. Please take care of yourself and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode.